Our main text is Exodus 23, verse 29 through 30. Okay, Exodus 23, verses 29 through 30. And I really believe God gave me this word for you all specifically tonight. Hi, how are you?
Good, I ain't seen you in a while.
You know, it's been a minute. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Exodus 23, 29 through 30. All right. So if I had to come up with a title, which I did, it's Little by Little, God's Strategic Plan. Okay, Little by Little, God's Strategic Plan. And God has a plan for us all, but I think sometimes we don't think God's plan is strategic. I don't think his plan is intentional, that everything in your life has purpose, it has meaning, and it is hyper intentional. So God's strategic plan, we're jumping in the middle of Exodus, okay? So it's hard for me to jump into the middle of Exodus without providing some type of context, okay? Without providing some type of context. So Exodus 19:1 reveals that where we're jumping into, it's around 2 or 3 months since God delivered the Israelites, or the children of Israel, from Egypt, okay? From oppression, from slavery. God did this big, he did all these 10 plagues. He delivered them from under the hand of Pharaoh, all right? Now, one day, we're going to do like a 6-month series on Exodus because it has so many gems in it, and it's bothering me that we're skipping so many important topics, but we're going to skip them anyway. All right. So who are the Israelites, though, or the children of Israel? Okay. I really want you to put yourself in their shoes during these times as much as you can. Okay. They are people who were born and raised in slavery. All right. They had no concept of what freedom is. Zero. All right. So let's provide a little context. All right. I encourage everyone to read Genesis. You got to read Genesis 1 through Genesis 50. If you're going to unlock the Bible even a little bit, you got to know the book of Genesis. So if you never read Genesis chapter 1 through 50, I want to encourage you just to do it. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to pick it apart. Just get to know some of the stories and what happened in Genesis, because it's going to unlock the Bible. Okay. So we're going to do something real quick. We're going to walk through Genesis. We're not going to read it. I'm going to give you some quick bullet points that I wrote down. All right. So Genesis 1, God created the whole world, including humans. Genesis 2, God gave more details on how he created man, woman, and gave Adam instructions in the garden. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sent the entire world into chaos because the serpent deceived them. Genesis 6, the world was so evil that God essentially started over through Noah's family and through the flood. All right. Genesis 10, God makes a covenant with humans saying he will not, and with Noah, he will not destroy the earth again through the flood. Genesis 12 is very important. God calls Abraham, but at this time, Abram, and tells him he will be a father of many nations. Genesis 21 through 50 are countless stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Okay. So Abraham finally had his son. He had more than one son, but the promised son, which was Isaac. And then Isaac had twins, Jacob and Esau. Okay. That's a whole nother story in itself. But Jacob got the blessing. And then God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. And their nicknames was the children of Israel, or the children of Jacob. All right. Y'all following me? Okay. Give me some thumbs up if y'all follow me so far. We cool. All right. I love it. All right. Let's get it. Okay. So Jacob's favorite son was Joseph, to the point where he gave him a robe of many colors. All right. He thought Joseph was dead for many years because his older brothers was jealous and lied to their father. Well, Joseph became second command in Egypt, and the children of Israel was prosperous and free in the land of Egypt. All right, y'all got it? So the children of Israel, all right, of Jacob, because of Joseph and his ability to interpret dreams, and because Joseph's perspective and his perseverance and obedience to God save the entire nation or the children of Israel from the famine, and they were prosperous in Egypt. Okay, now we get to Genesis 50, verse 26, and Joseph dies and he's buried in Egypt. Okay, here we go. Man, I need a haircut, Dre, but we're going to keep rolling, okay? All right, Joseph dies and was buried in Egypt. Now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 50, all right? Genesis chapter 50. I walked you all up there so we can get to Genesis chapter 50. I want to read some stuff for you because I think it's just some good stuff in here, okay?
Mo, I got a question.
Yes, what's your question?
So did Joseph, you said his son was, yeah, it was Joseph, right? So Joseph, did he potentially save all of Israel then pretty much?
Yes.
Keep their bloodline going pretty much?
Absolutely. So what Joseph did that was so key, Joseph actually would have, what did I say, Genesis 50? Yeah, Joseph would have end up, the children of Israel would have end up dying in the famine if it weren't for Joseph being the second in command in Egypt. So when you read the story, Joseph brought his entire family from Canaan, I believe, to Egypt to be saved from the famine. And that's where they dwelled in the land of Goshen within Egypt. And they were prosperous there. So while everybody else was dying and struggling because of the famine, because of Joseph was sold into slavery, put into prison, lied on, been through all this stuff, right? But God was with them through it all. He literally saved the lineage, if we want to go deep with it, of Jesus. All right. So, yes. So Joseph really ushered in. I hope that answered your question, Dre.
Yeah, it did. Appreciate it.
All right. No problem. Watch this. Joseph died, verse number 26. He died at the age of 110. The Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. All right. Then we get to Exodus. I love this, y'all. Okay. Because in Exodus, you see Joseph and all his brothers, they died, right? Now, this is Joseph's brothers. The 11 of them, they died, ending that entire generation. Check this out, verse 7. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Watch this, y'all. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph and what he had done. Come on, y'all hear me. There's some things that our ancestors did that was phenomenal. It's Black History Month. There's some things that our parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents, they did. It was phenomenal. But what happened? Eventually, new leadership came in and knew nothing what Joseph had done. And that tells us that we got to build our own legacies. We got to build our own house. We got to build our own lives. We got to build the things that God is telling us to do. We need to do it because we cannot hang on the merits of what was done in the past in previous generations. All right. Verse number 9. Look at this. He said, the new king, look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, if war break out, they will join our enemies and fight against them. Then they will escape from the country. Look at this. So the Egyptians, Let me turn it blue. Made the Israelites their slaves. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. How in the world? All right, I'm just curious, y'all. This is how I study, y'all. I'm just curious. They said, he said, look, the people of Israel in verse 9, they outnumber us and they're stronger than us. How in the world that a people who outnumbered them and is stronger than them made them their slaves? How? I'm just curious. And isn't it interesting that those who are more powerful or those who are weaker were afraid of those who are more powerful, so they made them their slaves? I can guarantee you right now, there's some things that's trying to put you in bondage, not because they want you in bondage, but because they're afraid of your anointing. They're afraid of your destiny. They're afraid of your purpose. So anytime people are afraid of what God has put in you, they try to put you in captivity and bound you to their set of rules, ideologies, and their gods. And I need us to understand who we are in Christ, and that the attack of the enemy is come to bound you up because you're that powerful. You're that valuable. You're that mighty. And guess what? Mm. They didn't even know it.
My God.
And this is what I'm talking about. And this all goes back to the grasshoppers we talked about last week. They seen themselves as grasshoppers, not only after bondage, but even before bondage. They didn't know how powerful they was. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. Come on. See, I need somebody to feel and just be honest that, you know what? Like, I feel oppressed, whether it's on my job, whether it's my finances, whether it's my spiritual life. I got some stuff that I can't shake off of me, and I feel like I'm being worn down by it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting tired in my spirit. I feel like I just want to give up some days. They forced them to build cities. And Ramses, that your name in the Bible, as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, watch this, y'all. The more they got oppressed, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. And isn't that something, that even though you going through what you going through, and even though you tired, and even though you bound, and even though you struggling, you still can grow stronger even under a heavy hand of oppression.
Amen to that.
And I want somebody to be encouraged. I know you going through what you going through, but you still can grow through it. You don't got to give up. You don't got to get tired. You don't have to complain. You still can grow. And God is doing something in your growth if you can hold on. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forced them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in their demands. And this is why I want all of us to be free, because if you are not free, those who seek to oppress you, they are ruthless.
Mm.
And I don't care who it is, like real talk. It could be government trying to oppress. It can be spiritual leaders trying to oppress. It can be people on your job trying to oppress you. It could be people in your family trying to oppress you. There's all types of people and situations and circumstances that's always trying to keep you bound in your thinking, bound in your spirit, bound in your mind.
Yeah.
You got to get free.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make it up in your mind. I don't know what I got to do, but I'm going to be free. Hey, man, y'all feeling me? Feeling me? Somebody going to get free? You got to get free.
Yes, Lord.
You cannot play with this thing. You got to be free.
Yeah.
And this is why, hold on. All right. Let me slow down. All right, we're going to skip ahead. So they were bound. They became slaves to the Israelites. All right, check this out. They were slaves to the Israelites for 430 years. Think about that now. They were in captivity for 430 years. Mm. Now you're like, Mo, how do you know they was in captivity for 430 years? It's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Okay? So I'm just not pulling out numbers and guessing. It's just literally in the text. All right? That's why it's so fun to read this stuff, because you just get random facts like that. All right? So what happens when you are freed from slavery, but all you know is slavery? Mm. What happens when you're free from slavery and all you know is oppression? What happens when you're free from slavery and all you know is abuse? Mm. What happens when you're free from slavery and all you know is the slave master laws, culture, habits of your oppressor? 430 years. Yeah. Every single person we read about in the Exodus story was born into slavery. Multiple generations never experienced freedom, never had no memory, no model, no framework of what freedom looked like. Their parents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents were all slaves. What happens when you were born in that neighborhood and you don't know no other neighborhood? What happens when you are born in that dysfunctional family and you don't know what a real healthy family look like? What happens when you are born into that church and that church was spiritually unhealthy and full of Pharisees and bounding you up with all these laws and shaming and guilting people and using their spiritual power and authority to abuse and misuse you and produce church hurt? What happens when you don't know anything else about church? So this is what happened. And now this is, I want to show y'all this, because this is how you read in between the lines of the text. The text necessarily, it says this, but you got to pick it up in between the lines by asking a question. If everybody was born in slavery, what was the impact of that slavery when they got free? So now they're free now. They're delivered. They have no rules. They can do whatever they want. But because they were born in slavery, because they have this trauma, because they were oppressed, because they were toe up from the flow up mentally, emotionally, and physically, they had a slave mindset. They were all about survival. They were saying things, at least we had food back in Egypt. Meaning they would rather guarantee their survival in bondage over uncertainty in freedom. Like, I wonder, y'all, how your mindset is. Some of us would rather stay in bondage. Broke, disgusted, depressed, sad, addicted, toe up from the flow up because it's comfortable and I'm used to this all of my life, than the uncertainty of being free. They were unable to think beyond their immediate physical needs. Only thing they could think about is how much money I got in my bank account. They couldn't see nothing else. And we told you a couple of weeks ago that worry of those riches, it chokes the word of God out. Mark chapter 4. They always was waiting to be told what to do. They had no initiative or agency. They say things like, whatever the Lord says, we'll do it. Now, that's a great statement. Don't get me wrong. But it shows they had no ability to self-lead or direct themselves. They needed Moses for everything. We glorify Moses, and we got pastors and preachers trying to be like Moses. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Because instead of depending on God, they needed Moses for everything. They crying to Moses. They complaining to Moses. They don't know what to do. They can't make no decisions. Now, I'm not being harsh on them. The harsh reality is they spent their entire lives in slavery. They have no concept of this. And some of us have spent our entire lives in circumstances and situations, and we have no concept of what freedom in the Lord really feels like and what it really is like. We're bound. And I feel like today, y'all, we about to get free. Just a little bit more, little by little. We about to get free. All right. All right. Every obstacle they ran into, they was like, it's the end of the world. We're about to die. We're going to be destroyed. We're about to starve. They had no capacity to problem solve. They were awful. They were always fearful. They were always complaining. They was always grumbling. Just read Exodus and Numbers. When they got free, that's all they did. And you know why they complain? Because the only thing they could do as slaves were complain. They had no power or agency to change situations. Here we are, thousands of years later, full of the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, with His power, with His presence, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we still complaining? I'm just saying, y'all.
Jesus.
I understand why they complain. They complain because they knew no better.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we complaining? Now, I want to encourage you, but I want to challenge you just looking at the text and looking at the scripture. When you read Exodus and Numbers and you see their complaints, God was heated at them, right? And God didn't give them no pass for real. The Old Testament guy, he ain't playing like that. You know what I'm saying? But I wonder what God be thinking about me and my complaints.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Lord, I need to check myself and do this thing called practice, not complaining. All right. So if you felt convicted, my goal is not to convict you. My goal is not to cause any pain. My goal is not to cause any pressure. My goal is for you to hear God. And what is God saying to you in this moment? And I want you to follow that. All right. Listen, the list can go on. Okay. Everything belonged to Pharaoh in Egypt. There was no ownership. There was no responsibility. They couldn't even imagine what owning land was like. All right. They were confused. Who were they if they weren't slaves? I wrote a book called Smoke Free. And the reason why I wrote this book, because I used to smoke a lot. Sorry, my mama's on here. My bad. But I used to smoke a lot. I'm saying, Mom, you might have to get up. I'm sorry. I got some stories to tell, but you know. Okay, anyways. But I wrote a book. And one of the things, like when I used to smoke, was like, I consider myself a weed head. And I had to ask myself the question, Mo, who are you if you're not a weed head? And some of our behaviors, when they become habits, our habits become our identity. The reason why we're talking about practicing so much is because I'm trying to get, because I'm trying to get us practicing these habits, because if we can change our habits and practice the way of Jesus, guess what's going to happen? It's going to inform our identity. All right. So I can keep going, y'all. Oh, I can keep going and going and going and get stuck. I'm not going to get stuck. But I got a whole list of things about these people being slaves, y'all. They're for 430 years and now they're free. Okay. Now, some people, like, you know, because they was making idols and doing all types of stuff, but some people, they remember God. And God is always going to have a remnant in the land. That means He's always going to have someone to represent Him. Don't believe the news that the whole world is evil and nobody is following Jesus. God is always going to have a prophet, a priest, a child of God somewhere on this earth while this earth is turning and spinning.
Amen.
Always. In every city, in every part of the world, God is working in some stuff that you don't even understand. Mm-hmm. Okay? So as we put ourselves in their shoes, they were born in slavery. They have a slave mindset. Even though they're free physically, they're still slaves mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So what does God do in this moment? All right. God starts giving them guidelines and laws to train them how to be free. See, we see a lot of rules in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. While they were in the wilderness, God is trying to help them change their mindset about freedom. These rules were to help God's people, wean God's people off the evil they learned. All right. That means even God loosened up the standard just a little bit. And he was like, look, he had funny laws. It's just kind of funny. If you just read it, you'd be like, God, why did you tell them that? That ain't even right. You know, that's why Jesus had to come back and correct all of it, because God was weaning them off of the rules they learned and the evil they learned in Egypt. All right. So you got to read that for yourself. So now tonight we're getting to Exodus 23. All right. We're getting to Exodus chapter 23. I'm going to go there on my iPad. All right, you can go there with me if you want to. All right, Exodus 23. And we're going to start at verse 20. And I really just believe this is just a word for somebody. All right, this is a word for somebody. And we're talking about embracing God's strategic plan. Embracing God's strategic plan. All right, Exodus 23. Let me share my stuff. Okay. Holy Ghost, Ajene, Holy Ghost. All right. It's going to make me share it twice, you all. I don't know why. I'm still troubleshooting my new system over here. Okay. One day I'm going to have a professional studio. Okay. That's not today. All right. Here we go. Exodus. Let me do this. Bring this over. All right. Y'all see the screen? Okay. Exodus 23. Check this out. No, Jesus. All right, here we go. Exodus 23. Oh, yeah, I could do that, Mo. Be smart. Okay. So to embrace God's strategic plan, okay? Well, first, let me read this. Verse number 20, Exodus 23, verse 20. My bad. Here we go. See, I'm sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and to lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. So God is talking to the children of Israel. God is talking to Moses to talk to the children of Israel. So it's all one and the same. And he's given them a set of instructions. And God is letting them know the strategic plan he has for them. But in order for them to receive these promises, they're going to have to embrace his strategic plan. So my encouragement right here, okay, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you have going on, but my encouragement is today, embrace his strategic plan. All right, this is going to mess y'all up. Here we go. I'm ready. Y'all ready? Verse number 21. It says, pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he is my representative and he will not forgive your rebellion. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the angel, that he got some angels, okay, like who's about to lead and guide them. And he said, the angel's going to be talking to you. Do not rebel against the angels. You want to update it in 2026? The Holy Spirit is guiding you. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is with you. Do not disobey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you to do some stuff. Follow and listen to what he is trying to tell you. Okay? Yeah. Here we go. And not out of no legalism, but because God is trying to teach us how to be free as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse number 22. Be careful. But if you're careful to obey him and follow all of my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose who you oppose. Come on. You got some enemies and I don't know about you, but whoever my enemies is, I want God to be an enemy to my enemy. Whoever or whatever is opposing me, I want God to oppose it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a demon, if it's a devil, if it's a circumstance, if it's a healing, a body ailment. Mm-hmm. I don't care whatever comes against it. I want to be like, God, I belong to you. And because I belong to you, you oppose everything that opposed me. I want to be able to stand in that.
Amen.
All right. Verse number 23. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. So you may live there. All right. So God going to bring you to a place where somebody already dwells. And I will destroy them completely. There's some blessings that you waiting on that somebody else or some institution already possess. God said, I'm trying to give it to you.
Yeah.
All right. Watch this. You must not worship the other gods, these nations, serve them in any way or practice or imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy them, smash your sacred pillars. All right. Verse number 25, you must only serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water. I will protect you from illness. There is no miscarriages or infertility in your land. And I will give you long and full lives. I will send my terror ahead of you and create panic among the people whose lands you invade. I will make all of them your enemies and they will turn and run. I will send terror ahead of you and drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites. Now, listen, y'all, for those who were here last week, you got to remember this. Remember when we talked about the grasshoppers, I forgot to tell you one thing. The children of Israel saw themselves as grasshoppers, but did you know the giants in the land was already afraid of the children of Israel because they heard how God delivered them from Egypt? Mm. So if they would have showed up, they would have ran out of the land. But because they saw themselves as grasshoppers and they were thinking small and believing small, God did not allow them to enter into the promised land and let a whole generation die before they entered into the promised land.
My God.
And what happened was those who were born in slavery did not go to the promised land because they could not renew their thinking enough. And those who were born free had the access to enter into the promised land. Verse 29, this is where I'm trying to get to. Here we go. God's strategic plan. But I will not drive them out in a single year. Let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. God is saying that I got some things to drive out of your life so you can live free, so you can experience my blessing and my promises like you never have before. I got some situations to drive out. I got some people to drive out. I got some circumstances to drive out. I got some mindset shifts to drive out. I got some emotional regulation to drive out. I got some money to drive. I got some stuff to drive out. But God said, I'm not going to do it in a single year. So if you're going to embrace God's strategic plan, you must trust God's pace.
That's good.
Come on, y'all. Y'all get with me. You got to trust God's pace.
Yeah.
It may not happen all within 1 year. You started January 1st, 2026. This is my year. Shut up. What if God said this not your year? Trust him? No, I'm serious, y'all. We got to get off this bandwagon stuff and trust God's process. 2026 may not be the year.
You speaking truth.
I'm not saying don't go after it. I'm not saying don't put in the work. I'm not saying don't trust God for it. I'm not saying stop doing what you're supposed to do. But what I am saying, God moves at a certain pace, and there are some things he do subtly, and there are some things he do slowly.
Yes.
And we often tend to be on one side of the coin and say, suddenly, Lord, do it now and do it big and do it miraculous and do it forever.
Yes.
And when you look at Jesus, Jesus said, oh, y'all want a sign? The only sign you getting is Jonah in the heart of the belly for 3 days. My resurrection.
My God.
At a certain point of time, Jesus said, y'all chill out with all the sign talk. Follow me. Mm. So the question is, will you trust God at the pace he's moving? I'm not saying he's not going to do the miraculous. I'm not saying he's not going to move mighty. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, according to this text, he said, but I will not drive them out in a single year. Now, what I love about God is God will explain himself when he wants to.
Yeah.
Look why. It's right here. I'm looking at it. You looking at it. It's on your screen. It's on my screen. Here we go. It says, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to embrace God's strategic plan, not only do you got to trust God's pace, but you got to trust God's protection. The main reason it's not happening this year is not because you're not righteous. It's not because you didn't cross your T's and dot your I's. It's not because you're doing something bad or you are bad. It's not because you're sinning all the time. The reason why it's not happening when it's happening is because God is protecting you from some stuff you haven't even thought of. You're not thinking about no land becoming desolate. You're not thinking about no wild animals. You're not thinking about if he did it this year, it will end up threatening you and destroying you.
Yeah.
Do we trust God that he's protecting us when he's moving slowly? Because if he answered all your prayers right now, God is like, some wild animals out there. The land wouldn't be able to handle it. You wouldn't be able to handle it. And if I did it right now, guess what? It will endanger you. And because I love you and I know that and I see that, trust my pace and trust my protection. All right, real quick. I need to take a pause. I need to take a pause. Y'all feeling me? Y'all hearing me? All right, y'all hearing me? I gotta take a pause. All right. Some comments in the chat, thumbs up, emoji, something. You know what I'm saying? I gotta take a pause. All right. Whew. Okay. Let me get some water. All right, hold on. I'm sorry, this mic, I feel like y'all can hear anything. I'm just trying to take a deep breath. Okay. All right, here we go. I love it. All right, here we go. This is the last one, y'all. We out of here, okay? Trust God's pace. Let me chill out. All right, my bad. I don't know why I be snapping y'all. My bad, y'all. I'm sorry. I get juiced up, though. This stuff gets me excited. Okay, trust God's pace. Okay, trust God's protection. Trust that when God is not moving how you think he ought to move, trust is for a reason, and that God is really protecting you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if we be real, especially over here in America, we really got everything we need. We got to stop acting like we don't got what we need. We got to stop acting like we ain't eating every day and eating good and eating what we not supposed to be eating. And eating too much. No, for real. We got to stop acting like we don't got no roof over our head. I don't care how low the roof is. I don't care if it's a hole in the roof. You got a roof over your head.
Amen.
We got to stop acting like we ain't got no jobs. I don't care if you don't like your job. You got one.
Yeah.
God is saying, I'm trying to protect you from some stuff. And this last one, I love it. Look at verse 30. It's staring right at y'all. It says, I will drive them out a little at a time until your population has increased enough to possess, to take possession of the land. If we're going to embrace God's strategic plan, the plan he has had for us before the foundation of the world, the plan he has for us in the books in the courtroom of heaven, if we're going to access and walk in the destiny, the dominion, and the power that God has designed for us to walk in, we have to trust God's process. And God's process is often a little by little.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to drive them out a little at a time. God's mercy, hear me, provides us time and opportunity for us to increase so we can handle his blessing. He said, until your population has increased, until your capacity has increased, until you're able to fill what is void that I'm trying to give you, until your feet grow and you're able to fit the shoes that you're destined to walk in, I cannot give it to you right now. You got to go through a process of growth so you can handle the blessing I'm trying to get to you.
Come on.
And I know that's real because there's some things in my life where I'm like, Lord, I know I prayed for this. Lord, I know it's coming my way. I know it's for me. And there's some things where God showed me, you ain't grown up enough yet. Mm-hmm. You haven't matured enough yet. Your emotions, like God is like, Demo, there's some things you have to grow in. You have to increase in. And the way we do that, and I've been pushing it, and I'm going to keep pushing it. The way we do that, you all, is through the practices of Jesus and the disciplines. This is why we can't sleep on the disciplines. This is why we can't stop following Jesus, because when we be with Jesus, when we become like Jesus and we start doing what Jesus did, guess what? It's an automatic formula for growth when we're with Jesus. And that's where we learn how to trust his pace, trust his protection, and trust his process when we are with him.
Yeah.
When we're not with him, we will struggle with those three things.
Yeah.
And I know it's not pretty. I know it's not. I know. Like, I'm telling y'all, I know this is not pretty. As a church, I know it's not pretty. As a ministry, I know it might not be that attractive. It might not be that beautiful. But if you can trust the process and practicing the spiritual disciplines we're talking about on Sundays and in this ministry, if you can move at God's pace and trust that he is slowing you down so he can speed you up, that he is slowing you down so he could do the supernatural through you, that he is slowing you down so you can impact the lives of millions, you got to be with him. Mm. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
We have to subtract from our lives so we can be with Jesus. And the truth is, I'm going to sound like a broken record, and I'm sorry, but I feel like God is calling me to say this. We're too busy to even be with him.
Yeah.
We're too worried to be with him. We're too concerned about our future to be with him. We're too concerned about our past to be with him. And I believe God's heart through the Holy Spirit is crying out, will you be? Can you be with me? Can you spend the hour with me? Like, can you go to sleep on time with me? And a lot of us, we need to parent ourselves. My kid's in the bed at 7 o'clock every night. Go to sleep. Or God, like, just how you telling them to go to sleep, I'm telling you to go to sleep. You go to sleep on time. Yeah. What you staying up late for? Like, what are you doing? All your willpower is tapped. You tired from work. You tired from doing all the chores around the house. You tired from this and that. And you're going to stay up and do what? Watch some stuff you're not supposed to be watching? Looking at some stuff and listening to some stuff you're not supposed to be listening to and watching? Doing some stuff you're not supposed to be doing? A lot of sin can be handled through sleep. Lord Jesus, I felt that. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know if y'all felt it. I felt it.
Good.
We got to go to sleep.
Amen.
And when you go to sleep, now you can wake up an hour or two early and be like, God, I'm giving this to you. And just watch how your day and your life change when you consistently do that. Notice, I didn't say go to no church. I'm a pastor of a new church, and I ain't even pushing going to church. Ain't that something? I ain't say serving no ministry. Mm-hmm. I ain't say praise. I ain't say give your last money. I ain't say none of that. I said spend time with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because who better to show you God's strategic plan than him? Mm-hmm. Jesus, like, the sin happened in Genesis 3. Do you think God could have sent Jesus in Genesis 4 to take care of the sin problem? Probably. But what did he do? He said, I'm going to work out a strategic plan in the life of Jesus. So that means he worked out his strategic plan at God. Like, even God and Jesus trusted their own pace. Through 42 generations, read it in Matthew chapter 1. 42 generations, starting from Abraham. Y'all got to read Genesis. All the way through King David, King Solomon, all the way through Joseph, I mean, all the way through Mary and Jesus. 42 generations, Jesus hit the earth. And God's protection was through it all. The Jews, Jesus' lineage was almost destroyed with the Jews. Queen Esther showed up, saved the whole Jews. There's stories after stories where Israel could have been wiped out. But God's protected that seed. And God trusted his own process to get Jesus in the world. And when Jesus got here, guess what he did? He moved at a certain pace. He ain't show up just trying to heal and deliver and do all that. He went to school just like everybody else. All the other little Jewish boys growing up in Galilee, he went to school. Matter of fact, before then, King Herod tried to kill him. God protected him some more.
Hey, Mo.
Yeah.
Talking about that pace thing again, I just looked up Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 4, say, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, yada, yada, yada. And that kind of explained that, you know, there's a process that has to take for, go forth. Fullness of time.
Fullness of time. We don't know the fullness of time for our lives. I don't want delay to happen, okay? So that means I don't want to just wait until we 150. We ain't got all them years Abraham had, all right? But I don't also want us freaking out because it's not happening now. God is saying, I'm trying to work out some things. And Jesus, he lived this thing out. He walked everywhere he went. He had 3.5 years to get this thing right. And my man walking crazy. My man sleeping on boats crazy. My man going in the mountains and praying crazy.
plus two.
Like my man, like Jesus is like, he working, but he chilling. Like he walking. He ain't in no rush. He's moving at a certain pace. And that's because I believe he was prepared. And preparation helps you move at a certain pace. And everyone want to move in a prophetic, and everyone wants to move in power, but nobody wants to prepare in the school of hard knocks with Jesus in discipleship. All these Christians and not enough disciples. So my challenge to you as we close, and if you got any questions, let me know. If you got any comments, let me know. My question for you is, will you be committed to following Jesus? I ain't sweet enough. Don't follow me. I ain't gonna hold you up. Don't follow me. Stop following all these people on YouTube. You can read books and all that. That's nice. Stop following them. How about you try following Jesus? All these people around the nations, they doing a lot of great things in America. Africa, you got some fire preachers in Africa. Them cats go hard. How about you? Have you tried following Jesus, though?
Yeah.
Like, real talk. Like, this is a real question. We've tried following everyone else. But have we really followed Jesus? And what does that look like? I'm going to say it one more time and I'm going to shut up. Be with Jesus. That means sit down, talk to him, listen to him, read his word. Sit down in silence, in solitude. Take a Sabbath. Be among other fellow believers and disciples. Be with Jesus. Then as you be with Jesus, you will automatically become like him. You will start to talk not like me. You will start to talk like him. You will start to move like him.
Mm-hmm.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You will start to think like him. When he was doing ministry, he saw them scattered and there was like a sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. You will start to see like him. And then as you become like him, you will automatically, you don't have to try it. You will automatically do what Jesus did. We trying to force miracles. We trying to force God's work. We're trying to force obedience. You ain't got to even try. If you abide in him and his word abide in you, you will bear much fruit. And I never seen a fruit tree trying to produce fruit. Never. And I grow fruit and vegetables every spring and summer. I go in a house one day, it ain't nothing on there. I come out the next day, it's fruit on there.
Yeah.
It's automatic. So I don't got to tell you all the, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to obey this. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Y'all got to go to another church. You're not going to get that from this ministry. What you're going to get is follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? You have to have enough character, Holy Spirit, and integrity not to lie and say, you know what? I'm following Jesus. And if you got something to struggle, you struggling with something, let's chop it up. Let's, as a community, let's build, let's get ministered to, let's pray, let's deliver, let's do whatever we got to do so you can follow Jesus and be free. I'm done, y'all. I keep going. I'm done. What questions and comments do you have? God bless you. I appreciate all of you being on here. I really do. Thank you so much for coming from near and far.